This is Diane Glancy. The piece was read October 16, 2016, at a benefit that raised nearly $1,000 for Sacred Stone Camp. The event took place at IAIA, the Institute for American Indian Arts, Santa Fe, New Mexico, organized by Barbara Robidoux. Room on my dance card. Of all the words I've heard from Sacred Stone Camp at Standing Rock, a simple one seems to speak the reason. I am here because I had a dream about my people. Elders, children, couldn't find drinking water. And when we came across a spout, oil came out of it. BBC News, a young Native woman, name not given. I am here because I want to witness. I want my words to say this is what has happened. The Dakota Access Pipeline plans to carry crude oil for 1,134 miles from the Bakken oil fields in the far northwest corner of South Dakota to oil storage units and tank farms in Patoka, a small town in south-central Illinois. The pipeline already has passed tributaries to the Missouri River and is nearing the Cannonball in North Dakota as it approaches the Missouri. The Energy Transfer partners plan to continue the pipeline southward across South Dakota, then east across the fields of Iowa into Illinois, which means the pipeline will have to go under the Mississippi River also. The Iowa Utilities Board has approved the pipeline, which will run from northwest to the southeast corner of Iowa, crossing the Floyd River, Little Sioux, Maple, and Raccoon Rivers, among others. Then, of course, on the eastern border of Iowa, the Mississippi River. There is no other way between Iowa and Illinois unless you fly the oil there. When I was looking at Patoka, Illinois online, there was a headline, June 5, 2005, lightning struck one of the tanks and caught fire. On Sunday, October 9, 2016, I drove from Billings, Montana to Bismarck, North Dakota, some 400 miles on I-94. I saw the pipeline already installed in western North Dakota. It's visible from the interstate. The bulldozers had shaved the land, cleared an ugly path through the fields. A narrow platform had been built on post or legs off the ground, about waist high. The pipeline rests on that platform. It seemed frail as I observed it, unprotected. On I-94, I passed several transport trucks carrying pipe. They are about 30 inches in diameter. I was surprised they were small. That Sunday night, I stayed in Bismarck because I wanted to hear the presidential debates. I stayed with sheriffs and highway patrol officers from other places. I heard the workers talk. I heard the foreman, the Dakota Access Pipeline security. It would be January instead of December when the pipeline under the Missouri River was completed because of delays caused by protesters. The welders already had gone ahead to where work was not interrupted. The weather will get cold. The protesters will leave, the officer said. I sat listening to the conversations that danced around the breakfast room. I was invisible to them, not part of what they said. South of Bismarck, the exit from I-94 to Highway 1806 south to Cannonball was marked on I-94, but signs were not there past the exit. I had to stop and ask the way to the camp, some 25 miles south of I-94. On the way, the cows were eating their grass. They said, "Hey, yo," and I drove on knowing they said the way. Midway, there was a roadblock and checkpoint where troopers asked my purpose. Ahead of me, a truck with large catering trailer, or commissary, I think they are called, had to pull off the road. The cottonwoods had turned yellow. The sun was bright. The sky was there. And the camp close to the river, its many flags flying in the air. Cannonball, by the way, was named after round rocks from a turbulent place in the river. Was it the cavalry that named it, or the Indians who had seen too many of the balls the soldiers shot at them? The Dakota Access Pipeline passes through sacred land. Medicine Rock is there. The Mandan say it is where they came into the world after a great flood. One of the earliest depictions of the Sundance is John K. Baer's 1713 winter count of a Lakota dance near Cannonball. The bulldozers and machinery have disrupted artifacts and burial grounds. They have crossed old wounds of infraction and transgression against Native tribes. they bring the repeat of history of stepping into what isn't theirs. In Morton County, North Dakota, they have all the weapons. They have armored vehicles. They have made a military zone. They have smeared the land with their pipeline path. Even more troublesome is an old prophecy of water pollution. When it comes to metal pipes, it also is a matter of common sense. Pipeline seepage, pinhole leaks, long seam line cracks, structural anomalies, corrosion, erosion, rupture, unforeseen happenings and complications, no abandonment regulations. I would say to the corporation, what do you not understand about the sacredness of water and the danger the pipeline imposes? Regarding Illinois, there were 3 7-point magnitude earthquakes in 1811 to 1812, December, January, and February, in New Madrid, Missouri, which borders on southern Illinois. The quakes moved a bend in the river. A report filed November 2008 by the Federal Management Agency warned of the possibility of another earthquake in the New Madrid seismic zone, an intraplate fault from an ancient rift. The Dakota Access Pipeline is a $3.7 billion project. What are the chances that the Energy Transfer Partners, the corporation responsible, is going to abandon their project?